This is the World Cup, Sound of Football.
Welcome everyone, you're listening to the World Cup Final, Sound of Football 2010. Me, Chris Oakley here as ever with Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. If it sounds like I'm rushing in my speech, there's a very good reason for that. Unfortunately, we've been struck by the jinx of the World Cup Final. We have just recorded a first part, as we normally do, before the game starts, but sadly, Graham has become, he's succumbed, shall we say, to technical issues, which means we've lost his track on the first part. So we're effectively starting today's programme from our half-time, what would have been second part, basically. So anyway, welcome aboard Terry and Graham. Let's crack on. Basically, join us, it's half-time, it's nil-nil. And, well, one of the things that we were sort of discussing before in the part that never was is the fact that, you know, Spain are so good with their possession, and how would perhaps the Dutch go about trying to get into this game. And it turns out, as predicted by many, that they've gone around kicking the Spanish up in the air on one or two occasions, and indeed the respect has been mutual, wouldn't you say, Graham?
Yeah, it seems exactly that. The thing that the Dutch have to worry about is that, you know, it's been nil-nil at half-time for the last three games for Spain, and they've still gone on to win them 1-0. It's working so far. And in fact, at the end of the first half, when the Dutch looked the more likely to score, actually, didn't they? I hate to say it's gone dully to plan, but it has pretty much gone to how everyone thought it really would go, despite what everyone hoped it would go.
Yeah, it's the tactic of upsetting the Spanish flow of passing and all that by essentially being a bit on the aggressive side is, yes, it's kind of been effective in the sense that it has broken down the passing. But Terry, bit of a shame to see it really in a World Cup final, but we can only perhaps hope for better in the second half.
Well, I don't know.
I don't say we'll get it, but
I don't think we'll get it. But yeah, I mean, it is perhaps a bit predictable. I mean, we thought that perhaps Van Bommel and De Jong would be in amongst the Spanish midfield trying to break things up. And in that respect, they have done that. Spain haven't found it that easy to be as fluid as they usually are. Occasionally they've crossed over the line as well. And Van Bommel's finally got his yellow card.
we were predicting in the bit that you won't have heard, everyone, that with Howard Webb being an all too rare refereeing choice for the final, whether we suspected he might be trying to make a name for himself by actually getting Van Bommel sent off, and he's halfway there now by the looks of it.
Indeed. But for all of that, I mean, the only sort of like major moment was obviously Stecklenburg's save, wasn't it?
The one very early on?
4 or 5 minutes. I mean, if that had gone in, then that would have been something. Holland at times have been really quite poor. I mean, some of the long balls up into the channels, again, same thing that Germany were caught out doing in the semi-final, which doesn't suit their style of play at all. And they unsurprisingly, they got no joy from it. Their only hope appears to be through Robin at the moment of actually creating anything, or unless they can, you know, jam something from a free kick. I mean, I don't know about Spain. I think Spain, for them, it'll just be that one movement that just clicks. Yep. Or perhaps another set piece and it'll be 1-0, right. And that could be that.
As we've seen before, yeah. Robin did, of course, have a chance right at the end there in sort of stoppage time at the end. A decent shot low down, which was saved well by Casillas, just sort of pushed around the post and all that. We had that spell, yellow card, 5 yellow cards, actually, in the space of 13 minutes, and it was all getting a bit messy.
Yeah, it all got really ragtag, didn't it, in the middle part there. I mean, there's none of those yellows that you thought, well, you know, Webb was being a bit sniffy with that one. Was it really? I mean, like, they were all stick on, and it's not as if he's trying to impose his authority on the game. They were just bad tackles, and like you could argue could have been red, but.
Well, I'll mention Nigel de Jong at that point with his wonderful karate kick at chest high level.
Oh God! And as well, I mean, like, I know we've been having a good pop at Bommel at Van Bommel with good cause, but Sergio Ramos has been making some particularly ugly tackles during this tournament and got away with them, and I'm glad to see he got in the book as well in the first half. So
It's a pity because we've seen a lot of Sergio Ramos in Spain's game, and he's been a great player. He's a very useful player. And
absolutely.
The fact that he has to sort of lower himself to those sort of levels.
Yeah.
Very great shame.
Yeah, I mean, he's turned up in my notes for a lot of the Spain games for good stuff that he's done. He's had a really, really good tournament. But yeah, no, today he's also been sticking the boot in, isn't he? It's almost as if he was launching a preemptive strike against what he thought would be a very, very physical game from the Dutch. And in that respect, I don't think he's wrong. In that respect, although I don't think his approach is the correct way of doing things. But yeah.
Pedro was a fellow that we mentioned in the first part that that never was. In the sense that he got the nod at the start of the game in place of Torres, and Pedro had a shot from long range not long before the first half, and he's managed to sort of keep out of trouble. Are there any other players you think that might sort of come to the fore if we get a bit of sort of stability in the game that you can see? Is there anyone that has sort of been hiding their light under a bushel in this first half, do you think?
Well, at the moment it is difficult to isolate particular players. I mean, beyond the ones that we know about, I think Xavi Alonso's had a decent enough game. And as always, Xavi is absolutely vital for them. Although I noticed that he was, when he had that reducer on him from Van Bommel, where Van Bommel got booked, Van Bommel kind of like goes up to him and like starts towards him, and Xavi is there sort of, you know, moving away from him and reacting slightly towards it. But the optimist in you thinking, well, it's just going to burst into life at any moment now. But I mean, it's difficult, I think, to isolate a standout player from the Spanish team thus far. Graham?
And what you really want is you want an early goal for the Dutch in the second half to get this game alive. But at the moment I can't see it. I mean, like, you know, the both teams are pretty much reduced to speculative efforts from outside the box, and they're just two really good teams, and they're not going to concede goals easily. And that's the most frustrating thing about this final. Who knows? So, and like, you know, things could change, and if we do get a red card, which, you know, it's you wouldn't want to bet against it happening. That could change the dynamic of this game as well.
Yeah, well, it'd be a shame. Absolutely. I mean, we mentioned, I think yourself, Graham, mentioned earlier on that Netherlands had the perhaps the momentum towards the end of the half. And I mean, just looking at my notes, I see at Wesley Schneider, or is that Schneider? He's been man of the match four times so far in this competition, and he's a joint top scorer. And you think, well, I mean, if they can get a little bit of momentum going, perhaps he's the man who could get that goal to prize things open. Let's keep our fingers crossed he does.
Well, I mean, they did it. They did it to Brazil, didn't they? So there's no reason to say why they can't do it here to Spain as well, because Brazil were they came here with a very defensive stance, and yet the Dutch scored twice against them, and then they had to wait ages for that to happen, didn't they, and come back from a goal down. So they're still in it, and they're still looking strong, and you know, this is no guaranteed result for Spain, is it?
Spain are just so much better at pressing as well as holding possession as well, though. I mean, I think that perhaps in one respect that maybe there is an extra dimension to the Netherlands game that they could find, that maybe they could find a way round Spain, but perhaps in the same way that they did against Brazil, but Spain are just so good without the ball as they are with the ball, and a lot of focus is put on them with the ball, but they just stop everyone from playing, or they just freak everybody out when they've got the ball, that they think they need to move the ball quickly, you know, and they make mistakes, and some of the passing has been poor, frankly, and I'm sure it's quite simply because the players have put themselves under pressure, rightly so, or they've got a Spanish player breathing down their neck, they're about to lose the ball, so it's really, there's not much space in there at the moment for anybody to really, either team, to really do anything creative. And I guess that's probably a summation of the first half generally, and it's difficult therefore to predict, you know, whether or not You know, something that, you know, something's going to happen. It may require a moment of individual brilliance or a moment of controversy from the referee, perhaps a penalty goal or something like that. A penalty, rather.
A penalty goal? You've been listening to Andy Townsend again.
Sorry, I was listening to Andy Townsend yet again.
Get out!
I'm in favour of them, personally. He said, lying.
I only hope that we just don't get like mass red cards and everything, because... you know, it's just the last thing we need, really. Of course, we've got, you know, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. This is his last game before he retires, so maybe he'll sort of be getting more and more sort of pressing in his urgency towards the end of the game. Might be able to influence something. And I'm just trying to look here down at my old notes. I mean, the thing is with both teams is that they've both got incredibly good defensive records, haven't they, going into this match? I mean, the Dutch are unbeaten in 25, and Spain have only lost, what, two in about, was it 3 years or something? It's just, so maybe we're asking a bit too much to have lots and lots of goals, but as I think you said earlier on, Terry, maybe the one will decide, especially if it's scored by Spain. But anyway, I'm going to stop routing on now, because I noticed that the teams are out for the second half. Technical glitches aside, hopefully we'll be back for part two of our new format, two-part show, and we'll be speaking to you again in just a moment after this musical interlude. Well, everybody, this will be, let's see, part two, which we thought was going to be the last part of this podcast, assuming that the game was going to go to 90 minutes. As you all know by now, this is not the end of the game. It's finished 0-0, and I think only the second World Cup final to do so, if memory serves, after the old 1994 final. So, what can we say, gents? I mean, we've had another, four bookings to add to the five in the first half, and it was equally as messy. And it's difficult, really, to sort of suggest one team was getting the upper hand on the other, because they both had their chances, didn't they?
Yeah, it's... I think it was even worse than the first half, wasn't it, really? It just got scrappier and scrappier, didn't it? Both teams have had really, really clear opportunities on goal and failed to take them, haven't they? So,
Yes, there was an early chance. I think Spain seemed to start the brighter of the two, but Robin's been clean through a couple of times. In fact, the first of those two opportunities, he was sort of on his own and... in fact, it was Casillas who did a good job stopping him, yeah. But then he had another chance later on where he had a couple of defenders as well for company and again denied. But Spain also, just sort of looking now to replay, David Villa in the penalty area.
Ramos had a clear header, didn't he, on goal?
Yes, that's right. He could have done with Puyol, I think, in that situation after the semi-final with the header that went in there. So... yeah, a bit of a sort of anti-climax in a way, this final, unfortunately. Sorry to say that, you know, but unfortunately this is the way things go, and both teams are on tenterhooks and there's some niggly fouls going in and perhaps the tension's getting to both teams. Terry, your thoughts?
Well, I thought Iniesta was going to get sent off in that in that second half, actually, because, I mean, yes. On the replay it wasn't nearly as bad as it looked, but, mind me, it could have been. I mean, yeah, it looked like he was going to have a Zidane moment there when he took exception to Van Bommel's attentions and sort of lashed out at him. Beyond that, there wasn't that much interesting to talk about, was there? I thought Iniesta's save was probably, yes, much the better save rather than necessarily a poorer finish, although I'm sure people would argue that Robin could have done better. Ramos should have really scored. This could have been over by now.
He was only about 3 yards out, I think.
Yeah, it was a clear cut. But then, I mean, Villa. I mean, we'll probably think that he should have scored as well. Obviously, it was a great block from. Was it Heitinger who
made
the block? Wasn't it? Yeah. So I mean, the game stretched a bit. And there's been some pace injected. I think Navas has made a bit of a difference in injecting a bit of pace into the Spanish game, while Elia has failed to do that with Holland. But then Robin has been, you know, much, much better now that, you know, he's been able to take advantage of the space that's been left by Spain as they've pushed further and further up the field and pushed Holland back. And yes, we could have had some. I've been a little bit more engaged with it. I think it's been a better second half. But in fairness, a lot of it was because things got a bit loose. Possession was being lost a bit. Mm. So it was making things a little bit more interesting for that way. But they're probably not necessarily the best reasons for enjoying a game of football. but there it is. You know, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, no, I kind of go along with that. I thought Jesus Navas was actually pretty good, and unfortunately we haven't had much chance to see Elias's pace, Elias's pace rather. He came on for Kautz, but anyway, I noticed that extra time is about to begin. There's probably not much more to say than that, to be fair, so we might as well knock off now, and it looks like we're going to get a three-part podcast after all. So join us in a few moments. We'll be back to give you the benefit of our review of extra time, and who knows, maybe even penalties as well. You never know. So speak to you in just a moment. Watcher, everyone. This will be part three then, and the game is finished after extra time, and Spain are the new world champions. Finished, Spain 1, the Netherlands 0, as you well know by now. Iniesta's goal after 116 minutes was, of course, decisive. And, well, I've got to say, fellas, I mean, the extra time, things picked up considerably. Yes, there were yet more yellow cards and even a red card, actually, in amongst it, but I got the feeling that the players at least started off rather more focused and more assertive in trying to go all out and get a goal. What did you make of extra time, Graham?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well there, actually, Chris. It did seem quite a bit more energetic, and yeah, I think the game opened out a bit more, didn't it? Interesting to see, like, when Fabregas was one on one and almost an identical save to what Robin had in the first half. And then, obviously, you know, Iniesta's goal, like 4 minutes from time, you know, that's and the huge amount of relief that it just seemed to be after it went in, wasn't even the best taken goal, I don't think. I mean, it was a lovely little pass from Fabregas, but he didn't control it that well, and then just basically smashed it straight in the middle, and the goalkeeper got a hand to it, didn't he? But unfortunately, couldn't keep it out. It doesn't matter how they go in, don't they? So
yeah, absolutely. I think you might as well, when you get into that situation, you might as well give it
laces, as they say. Which was quite good, and as well, you know, it meant we were in for a lot. Barnstorming like last five minutes, and you sort of tend to forget the other 2 hours after that, don't you, really?
Yeah. I'm sort of tempted to sort of say, Terry, best team won then in the end, but I sort of feel like both teams did, you know, give it a fair go. It wasn't a dull match in terms of both teams playing out a sort of stalemate with no kind of event in the whole game. They were both kind of giving it their best shot, and okay, it was a bit messy, but they both tried their best, I think, didn't they, really?
Yeah, on the whole, as a piece, it was a fantastic game. Both teams cancelling each other out ability-wise. Then they both tried to kick lumps out of each other. Then they lost the ball for a little while. Then they kicked a few more lumps out of each other. Then they cancelled themselves out again. Then they went to extra time and tried to win the game. Both teams quite keen not to go to penalties, I think. And well, I mean, there's an element of a little element of referee chicanery if you really want to drag that in, because I mean, Holland should have had a corner just a few minutes before the goal was scored, but I mean, not that I'm saying that, you know, not that I'm using that as sucker for the Dutch, because you know there's no excuse,
sucker.
But you know, they should have had a corner. You know, Robin's free kick was deflected twice. Going behind for a corner, but nevertheless, there it is. But ultimately, Spain doing what they always do: pass the ball around until they find a player in space in front of the goal, or nearest, damn it, in front of the goal. And yeah, as Graham said, he's put his welly into it, and relief all round. And I guess probably yes, the better team won, but only marginally better. Only marginally better. And that's what the World Cup is. I mean, the World Cup final is tense and it's dramatic and it's really going, and you feel like you're clenching every single muscle in your body while you're watching it. Unlike the third place playoff, which is everyone relaxes and has a lovely time.
And the goals fly in.
if you don't like games like that, then don't watch the World Cup final, because that's the only kind of game you're going to get. I love that sort of thing. It's great. It's enthralling. But yeah, it's just difficult to sort of necessarily pick apart. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the tactical purists try and break it down scientifically. I don't know how you can. Frankly, it was just sheer emotion. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the clues were there that, you know, as you say, anyone who sort of wants to find a lot of fault in that final, I mean, you know, both teams have been playing good football, but cautious and actually quite sort of taking a professional approach to the game in the sense of, you know, trying to get things absolutely right in order to sort of score goals only perhaps when absolutely certain they could do, rather than sort of, okay, we might have sort of lost a bit of fancy sort of fast passing and all that sort of thing, but ultimately, yeah, it shows, I think, that both these teams during the whole of this World Cup have both been quite keen to just, you know, play in such a way that they get things absolutely right where possible. I'm not sure if I'm making any kind of sense, but
well, yeah, I wonder if it'll catch on though, Chris.
What, attacking football? Not sure.
Well,
based on possession, yeah, yes. and pressing. No, I don't think so.
What? Well, yeah, that's it. Why play a precision game when you can play a percentage game?
Absolutely. Just, you know, knock the ball wide and long. You know,
put a big
just
man
get,
up front,
employ
lumps the balls up
that's
to
right.
him.
Absolutely. Yeah. That'll be that. Then that. And what could possibly go wrong?
It's the English way.
Yeah, I know we're gonna have. Now we've got to look forward to go to the English football season now, where it's all gonna. It'll be Sky Sports sort of like saying, oh, well, you know, Cesc Fabregas, he's a World Cup winner. He plays for a Premier League side. Fernando Torres, yes, eclectic glory.
Yeah. I thought he was going to sort of say, Sky will be sort of saying, we told you we had the better brand of football on our channel.
Even now they'll be saying that. Even now they'll be saying, you know, well, don't blame us for England being rubbish.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We're
you thought that
digressing.
Final was crap, but don't worry, we've got the Premier League coming up this summer. There we are. Yeah. Marvellous. Well, yeah, certainly an eventful game. I made it 14 yellows and a red in the end, but we saw some football in amongst all that lot, and it was a good tactical match. And Spain have won through. As we speak now, the presentation is about to be made to the Spanish team. They're going to receive the World Cup any moment now. And you know, congratulations to Spain for winning. And I've got to have some sympathy, I think, for particularly for Stekelenburg, because I thought both goalkeepers were absolutely fantastic tonight. Actually,
yes.
They really pulled off some tremendous saves. And yes, I feel for Stekelenburg, but. There it is. What are the chances you think of? As we're talking about two European teams, we've got Euro 2012 coming up next in terms of major competitions. What chances do you think we'll sort of see these two teams doing well in Euro 2012? Can the Dutch keep this going? Do you think?
Certainly, I think so. I mean, it's not as if they're going to lose a lot of players after this one. I know this was Van Bronckhorst's last game, but. The
got
nucleus,
a good core of players. Eh?
Yeah, the nucleus of that side is still going to stick together, and it still should do. I mean, like, there's no reason for them, you know, with the build up they've had, you know, that Van Marwijk's had over the last couple of years. You know, there's nothing wrong with his record, and this World Cup, I think, has been a great success for them. So. You know, they're one of a few teams that can say, yes, we've had a good World Cup.
Yes, indeed.
It is a little way off, but it is at the same time. It is difficult to see. Certainly, Spain. Falling apart prior to Euro 2012. They've got plenty of legs in them and could conceivably do it again. I wonder whether or not they could make it a hat trick. Germany, of course, is the team that everyone's going to be looking out for in Euro 2012. After this, they're going to be a huge force in Poland and Ukraine, particularly since it's just next door to where they live for the most part. So they'll have lots and lots of support there. But yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with Graham. I think that the Dutch will, if anything, be spurred on by the defeat, and will be looking to try and see if they can go one better. Maybe beat Spain in the final of Euro 2012. How's that for an ill-conceived prediction?
Well, we haven't done any of those so far, have we? So
we haven't, no. Coming up next, listeners, we go through the entire qualifying period of Euro 2012 and the group stages and the final and predict every single result.
Including sendings off and yellow cards.
Yeah, well,
just because we can.
Yeah, I mean,
podcast length, 4 hours
think,
and 50 minutes.
That's the one shameful thing about this tournament is the fact that all three of us were beaten by a bloody octopus.
yes, it's
indeed
beggars belief, doesn't it? Really, I'm pleased actually for Spain now. After all those years of sort of being the you know, the team that everyone sort of says, oh, well, yeah, when are they going to perform? Well, they won Euro 2008 and still didn't win everybody over. And now finally they can sort of say, up yours, everybody. We've won the World Cup now. Take that on the chin. So there we are. Just Spain now going up the stairs to collect the World Cup. And as we're talking, one thing that we touched on in previous podcasts was things that were going on Twitter and messages and things. In the depths of it all, in that final, I noticed that someone called Beat the First Man put a message on saying, I know this will shock a lot of people, but Alan Green isn't enjoying this game, which is perhaps not unsurprising. And there was a wonderful trend going on, a wonderful sort of hashtag thing going on, which was called No One Is Watching It on ITV, which was lightening the mood no end, I must say. So that was good fun too. Well, anything to add, gents?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so. All we can sort of say is that that's it. The World Cup is over. Spain are the world champions. We hope to be back at some point during the coming week to do a review of the World Cup.
Ooh, just, yes.
Because you know, we've been focusing on individual matches. We haven't had a lot of chance to sort of talk about the World Cup in general. So we'll give you our thoughts on that in our review. And if you will, we'll be putting our reflective hats on. But
come on, feel the noise.
Oh, yes. So we hope you can join us for that. But for now, from the World Cup final Sound of Football podcast, thanks very much indeed for listening. Hope to have the pleasure of your company again during the coming week. Until then, it's goodbye from myself, from Terry, and from Graham. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.